Okay, the next speaker that we have this afternoon is Chen Xuan, and it's Bringing the World into the Classroom.
Good afternoon, I'm Si Yun. I'm from Chestnut Drive Secondary. Secondary meaning, I think, your grade 7 onwards. So my lesson is not about LEMS. I just learned about LEMS as well today, yesterday from the workshop. So hopefully you'll take something out of from my lesson package. My agenda for the lesson is the C2015 objective, which is the MOE Master Plan 3, which I'll talk a little bit later. Of course, other than a C2015 objective, I hope to achieve my lesson objective from that particular chapter, which is classification for my students. Hopefully, I also want to have my students to be engaged and fun learners, and I want them to encourage them to learn beyond the textbook, which is sometimes quite difficult for the younger learners. So this is the C2015 objective by MOE. That guideline for teachers to follow to develop our students into confident person to be self-directed learners, active contributor, and concerned citizen, meaning a bit of national education. So the chapter that I did with them is classification, which can be divided into non-living things and living things, which I divided into my package into non-living things, which is on mind maps, and living things, which is the international collaboration with the Cape Town students. So how do I, my school doesn't have Blackboard, or we have LMS, which is Ask and Learn, but I find it more convenient to contact them using Facebook, which they're on every night. So I don't have to teach them how to use it. I just ask them to add themselves to the group. I inform them, I put the links, I upload into Google Docs, and I ask them to download the worksheets. Of course, I give them a hard copy, them being secondary school students, so still have to be a bit spoon-fed. But if they lose the worksheet, I'll just ask them to download and then print it themselves. Any online quiz, any online survey, I'll contact them using Facebook classification, which came to handy later at the later part of the project. So first, I did a bit of scaffolding with them, teach them about what's non-living things and a little bit about classification. And then I decided to differentiate them according to their interest. What do I mean is I let them do a survey. I divide them into group. Their group members will be leader, computer expert, writer, in a particular group. So I differentiate them into, like, are they very proficient with the computer? Do they prefer to delegate work? Do they prefer to write? So from there, I divide them into groups and then divide them into various roles. Because later on in my lesson, I'll need a smartphone, and I also divide the group according to that. So each group will actually have one student which have a smartphone that I can use for the lesson. So then they'll start constructing the knowledge. By doing mind maps, I use WebSpiration, which used to be free, a very good software where all the students can go online and they can all collaboratively do the mind map. At the same time, there's a chat window where they can chat to each other and give feedback to each other. But unfortunately, luckily, just after I finished the project, they changed it to pay per use. So I also make use of another online platform, Wikispace, for them to upload their work. So this is the Wikispace that they have, quite fun with classification. I put the step-by-step instructions there. From what I learned from LEMS, I think it would be very useful if they can just follow the sequence, which is even better than me having to put the step-by-step, and then they will get confused. They see so many words, they need me to go through step-by-step with them. Usually I just tell them to follow the sequence of first what you do, second what you do, third what you do. So this is the grouping, and then I teach them how to organize their data, which I thought would be useful too for them to have. So I forgot to give back. The background for my students are grade 7, 13 years old. I did this project just this year in February, so they just came into secondary school, still a little bit in the primary school mentality, not very independent. So I'm for this project, that's why I'm hoping to shift them towards them being independent learners, and especially after the first lab, science lab that I did with them, and they didn't even know how to pour chemicals into beakers. So, of course, the first wiki space, I teach them to organize their information properly. First assignment, second assignment, third assignment, fourth assignment, and teach them how to use wiki space. So the first assignment is making sense of the world. I'll just explain the different mind maps I ask them to do. Basically, I just tell them to just go out around the school and after class, of course, find different non-living things, whichever they want to find, about 8 or 10, and they construct a mind map. Classify them, classify as they want to, and then construct into a mind map. Second, what they had done here, this is the first assignment, they had to list down the items they used, how do they classify them. So this group is very creative. They classify the non-living things according to whether they use electricity or not. So conductors of electricity, non-conductors of electricity. Of course, I give them instructions again, what they should include in their assignment. So this is the second group. This is the group, a bigger zoom in of the work. This is another group, which they classify them according to the usage of the non-living things, which is very creative. Most of them classify according to location, where I find this thing, where I find that. So these two groups particularly are very creative in the way they classify their mind maps. After they did the first mind map, I go back to class, we talk about it, and then I give them a second assignment, which is a mobile trail. So this is a Microsoft tag. You can get it free from, you just Google Microsoft tag and you lead it to a website, it's free, tag, T-A-G. So basically, you need to have a smartphone, and you just have to download an application into your smartphone. You take a photo with the application of this tag, and then you send a clue to your phone. You can do this for websites, website links. You can do this for clues, like a treasure hunt. So instead of me pasting the clue all over the school, I just paste the Microsoft tag, and then they can take a photo, and then they can go for trail to trail. So what I ask them to do is they follow the clues and go to different locations to find 5 or 6 non-living things. So they have to take a photo of the non-living thing, and after that, this is them doing it. They take the smartphone, and then they take a photo, and then construct a mind map. So this is the mind map they constructed with the photos. So all of them classify them according to location. So these are the 6 locations where they went for the mobile trail. The purpose of doing this is so that they would be more exposed to even like form application in the class, and they had fun. And before I started this, because they are using their own mobile phone and them being just 13 years old, I gave a letter to their parents and said that I'll be using this and we'll be making use of their mobile data plan. It doesn't require a lot, but it's just to inform the parents in case they get a shock that, you know, how come their kids are using the mobile data plan in school. And one of the parents emailed me back and said that they are very thankful that their kids are being exposed to this, all these different kinds of applications in class. And this is another example of another student. All of these are done using WebSpiration. Then after that, I require them to do a reflection. Even the reflection take a bit of guiding for them to do. They have to answer all the questions in their reflection. Basically, the reason why I ask them to do the 2 different reflection is so that they can compare the different way to classify. So first is to just classify them according to their creativity and what it makes sense to them. Second thing is to guide them more into the different locations. They actually do peer review. They actually look at each other's mind map and comment, and what is different about your mind map to my mind map, and collaborative work in a group. They're actually constantly correcting their prior knowledge from how they've constructed the first mind map to the second mind map and constructing new knowledge. Third, they actually, in class, I start teaching them about the syllabus, which require them to classify the non-living things into metal, plastic, ceramics. So after they go into class, I'm very sure that they already know about classification. They know how to organize data very well. What they do is now they are just deconstructing knowledge and relearning everything that, okay, you can classify the non-living things into metal, plastic, and ceramics, which is required in their syllabus. They are tested on it. So what they do is they take the second mind map, all the items that they classify in the location, and ask them to reclassify everything into the different materials. So they classify them into ceramic, metal, plastic, glass, wood, and fibers. In this way, they actually retain the information better because they're constantly doing it, practicing their classification skills. At the same time, they are training their IT skills, all the different applications, the different tools online. And then they sum up by, again, another reflection. So they're also learning constantly by reflecting on what they had done. for the after they're done with non-living things, we have gone to living things, learning beyond the textbook. By this time, I know they're very sure that they know how to organize data very well and classify them. So what I hope to achieve by the second part of the lesson is guide them to learn beyond the textbook rather than just reading and giving the information. And usually, during exam, what we realize is that for living, especially classifying living things, sometimes I'll give you an organism that they have never come across and ask them to classify according to the features. And they just totally lost, and they say that I never learned about this creature in my class, science class before. And we say that you have to learn how to infer and adapt to the knowledge. So I'm trying to teach them to learn beyond the textbook and infer the scientific knowledge. So first I do a bit of scaffolding, tell them what is vertebrates, invertebrates, amphibians, reptiles. I give them a quiz, what are living things. And then lastly, I give them an image of a Singapore Zoo and ask them to see how Singapore Zoo classify their, organize their creatures, because there are so many different kinds. And then ask them to come up with their own version of the zoo. So basically, they just classify them called entrance, and then they go to reptiles, fishes, and then they put different images of the different animals here. So here is trying to encourage them to practice what they are learning in class into this zoo that they created themselves. Lastly is the international collaboration with a South African school in Cape Town. I'm trying to train them to be effective collaborators. So they have never met the students before, but they are actually learning from each other and working on a project together. I have never met the teacher before, in fact. So we are actually all communicating by email. And they can learn about the South African animals and plants in Singapore. So the project, basically, what they assign is the my students, I ask them to come up with, they're grouped into different groups, and I group them into, for example, this group is doing vertebrates, this group is doing invertebrates. So they have to come up with a few vertebrates that natural habitat is from Southeast Asia. And the Cape Town students, they are doing the organism from South Africa. And then we'll come together and we'll share the information, and they'll read about the Southeast Asia animals, and my students will read about the South African animals, which they have very rich habitat, very diverse habitat. And then we exchange all this information online, and the platform that we use is Wikispace. So this is the first page of the Wikispace. Basically, there's introduction to my school, the class, the school and the class and the teacher. My school is only one small class, and they have two classes that is involved in this project. So this is the school, which is at Tabletop near Tabletop Mountain, which my kids are very interested to find out about. And this way, they're very engaged because it's something very interesting to them. They're actually working on a project with some school from South Africa. And then the introduction, which is very fun for my kids to read. Kind of like Facebook, they're knowing each other online. Very interesting to see the difference between how the students posted their profile and my students. They're more natural, outgoing. My students will be, I give them instructions, put your name, hobby, your age, and they do exactly the same, my name, hobby. And, you know, they don't say they're like what they like and all that. So not as eloquent as the students from Cape Town. So how do they post their work on is by using this thing called Glogs. I'm not sure how many have heard of it. Glogs is an interactive poster, which is very fun to use. By this stage, because they are quite used to using IT in class already, Glogs, I never really teach them how to use. I did teach them a lot how to use Wikispace. I bring them to computer labs. But for Glogs, I just tell them briefly. I give them a sheet of instruction. They go home, they learn it themselves. Very easy to use. So this is the so my students, for example, if I do invertebrates, I'll come up with a glog on invertebrates. So this is an example. I put everything together into this glog called Southeast Asia Zoo. It's a bit messy. So if I want to learn about plants from Southeast Asia, I'll click on this. This will lead me to another glog about plants. I link everything together for the students so that it won't be like a whole chunk of information. So then if I want to learn about invertebrates, I'll click on invertebrates, then it go to invertebrates. So this is example of my students' work on amphibians and reptiles. And they did the same thing. If you want to learn more about, for example, poison dart frog, you just click on this. You'll go to another blog of more detailed information about habitat and the features of this frog. So in this way, my students themselves learn a lot about the Southeast Asia animals and plants among themselves. So these are the details that are written. These invertebrates. Before this, because this is the timing when the project is, not all information is put on at the same time. So my students will put on their information first. Before the Cape Town students put on their information, I got the list of animals from the teacher. For example, they're going to do on cheetah, they're going to do on elephant and lion and other plants. I do an online assignment for my kids. I ask them to research on, or they can just guess which group do all these belong to arouse their interest, and then going to reveal the answer when the Cape Town students post up their work. So this is by the Cape Town students. The teachers have posted it. They didn't do the Glock to put everything together. So theirs is like, they put the images and then the links to their Glocks. So if I want to learn about cheetahs, I click here, I will go to the Glock on cheetahs. So this example by the Cape Town students, very colorful. This is a plant called King Protea, very interesting. My kids, is originate from South Africa, so my kids won't have learned about this unless they have done this project. African lily, so about all the facts of African lily and which family it belongs to. And some of the comments by the students, again, you can tell the difference between the way they express themselves. They are very eloquent, and they say a lot of things about the Glock by my students. This is by Surrey School, so they learn about, they say they love the way they learn, they're interesting about the other organisms they post up, the colors, they comment on the colors and everything. For my students, this is the extent of their comments, and I just say, please comment on the aesthetics of the Glock, the information. So this is what they say, interesting information, colorful, but of course, we are still constantly working on their reflection and our comments. Them being set once, especially, they just came from primary school, so it takes a bit of work. And then the reflection at the end of everything, this part by one of my students, she had a lot of fun. She thinks a very creative way of learning and learning a lot of different computer skills. And they learn about a lot of interesting facts and encounter different kinds of flowering plants and animals that they don't come up from, they don't get from the textbooks. And they find it very effective. At the end, they're all very happy, but I tell you, throughout the whole process, it's very difficult for me and for them, because it's like pulling them by the nose to do every single assignment, because they say they're digital native, but for my kids, I don't know what happened to them. They cannot do it. So by the end, I'm very sure they're very independent. They can do a lot of things. So by the next project, I think I can just give them instructions and they can just follow. For ourselves, the teachers, we find it very interesting and fun and engaging. And this is by the other teacher from Cape Town. She really enjoyed it. And because I'm the one who initiated the project, so she has already started working on another school on a similar kind of project. And so we both enjoy the process very much. Application is that we can, after that, use this information to teach ecology, another chapter. The ICT skills could be carried on to another project, and it could be used as a form of e-learning, because by the second part of the project for living things, I'm quite thankful that for non-living things, I train them throughout everything. So by the time of living things, I know they're independent, because I was pregnant then. I gave birth 1 month earlier, so I didn't expect myself to be out of school so early. So we haven't completed the project, so I'll be... So I was in the hospital and I was on a bed typing the instructions on Facebook, which came in very handy. Say, please go and do this, and everything they do it themselves, and they upload the Glocks. They send the Glocks to me and I do everything. I say, go and comment, and we were all communicating by the Facebook or by Wikispace, and I was pretty sure they're independent learners, because they don't need me. I wasn't there, so they were doing everything themselves. The difficulty is the syllabus. Different schools start differently. Initially, I wanted... It's an ambitious project. I wanted to do with South Africa schools, so that they're South African animals, and then I want to do China, Hong Kong, Australia. I almost did Australia, but because the timing was different, Australia started school, I think, end of February, if I'm not wrong, the high school, so couldn't do it. The project was starting in beginning of March. It was quite difficult for the students to jump into the project straight after school starts. And I see literacy by my students. It takes a while to let them get going and get used to using computer. And that's all. This is my email. If you're interested in any collaboration or anything, you can email me. Currently, we are going to do a collaboration with NTU as well on a project with another Indonesian school. So if you're interested, you can just email me. any question.
Okay. Has anyone got any questions? How do you like these students to get to university?
Thank you.